the blue wind's blown my dreams away. My darling's flown and she's gone to stay. All I got now is yesterday, and I don't know what to do. Well, I guess I'll go downtown and see just what downtown can do for me. Maybe set my lonesome free, or maybe let me go. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye. Well, I wonder how long it can go on, how long I'll sing the same old song. I wonder which one done us wrong, which one forgot to try. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye. I loved her true, and I told her so. I asked her to, and she told me no. She said she had somewhere to go, and then she said goodbye.
WRCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
WRCT Pittsburgh.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Matt here providing you all with an update. So David is continuing his paternity leave. The baby is happy and healthy, and David is enjoying his time as a first-time father. He's not getting enough sleep, but I guess he's going to have to grow accustomed to that. But I thought I'd tell you what the plan is for today. So today we're going to be doing a themed show on vaccine mandates. Tomorrow we're going to be having David Pakman's show correspondent Luke Beasley hosting the program. And then next Monday I'm going to be hosting myself. After that, maybe David returns. We're not entirely sure yet, but that's the plan as of now. And for today, enjoy this themed show on vaccine mandates.
Vaccination. Who knew a few years ago that we would get to a situation so absurd and so insane in the United States when it comes to vaccines because of the pandemic? Today, our deep dive into vaccines and vaccine mandates. All right, I want to sort of get ahead of this story and spend some time today talking about supposed Biden mask mandates, because the amount of disinformation that we're already seeing, if it's at all a preview, is going to absolutely explode when Joe Biden is actually sworn in as president of the United States on January 20th. So to go back a little bit, right wingers have been warning, even during the campaign, Joe Biden will lock everyone in their homes. Joe Biden will be a dictator with masks and all sorts of other things if he becomes president. And over the last 48 to 72 hours, we heard two different things that are not the same thing. Very important. We heard from Dr. Anthony Fauci that indeed Joe Biden plans to do a 100-day mask initiative. And within that, there will be a piece that is a federal mask mandate. Now, when you hear federal mask mandate, many people imagine something that is very different from what we're actually going to get. So let me say this in the clearest terms possible. Joe Biden, nor any president, can mandate a national mask wearing law where everybody's forced to wear a mask outside of their homes. I've already addressed this, so listen very closely to what I'm going to say. What Joe Biden can do is address the nation from the Oval Office and ask people to wear masks. He can call the governors of 50 states and ask them to put in place mask mandates, which governors can do in various areas. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is an example. Earlier this week, he's a Republican, announced that there will be a mask mandate in workplaces in Massachusetts. We got an email from our office tenant where everybody's working from home anyway right now, but they said everybody's got to wear a mask per Charlie Baker's order. Governors can do that given states' rights. And yet there's a ton of headlines today which are very confusing in talking about a Joe Biden nationwide mask mandate, suggesting the federal government will force everybody to wear a mask. So let me explain what's going on. As the president of the United States, part of the federal government, Joe Biden plans to issue a mask mandate that includes federal buildings, as well as airplanes, trains and buses, which are regulated by the federal Department of Transportation. That's it. That's the mandate. That's what the president can do via executive order. And in just about every state, masks are already required in all of those places. Now, I do have some federal government employee friends who work in red states who have told me, you know, the equivalent agency in Massachusetts and in California, you've got to wear a mask. In my office for that same agency in a red state, our boss has not mandated masks. That will change based on this mask mandate for federal buildings, but it will change very little else. So before we go crazy misstating what this is, Joe Biden's mandate will apply only to federal buildings and transportation vehicles regulated by the DOT. Beyond that, any mask guidelines from Biden will merely be guidelines. They will be requests. They will be proposals. It will be up to your governor to decide what to do. That's it. Now, Dr. Fauci has said wearing masks for 100 days is a good idea. It will be up to the people and governors ultimately to decide what it is they want to do. For people who have been wearing masks for months already, this is going to be much ado about nothing. Consider that, you know, there is now a light at the end of the tunnel. Let's actually work together to start getting past this. If we can start, here's my trajectory. If we can start vaccinating 5 to 7% of our population each month, maybe that includes December. Maybe we only get, you know, 1-2% done in December. In January, we get 5 to 7%, February, et cetera. This means in 6 months, we could have somewhere between 30 and 42% of the population vaccinated, plus the 5 to 10% who will have recovered from the virus. We don't yet know how uniform immunity is when you recover. There's the idea that if you have a very light case, your immunity may not be as robust as if you recover from a more serious case. So we don't know exactly, but we could be heading towards a roughly 50% level of immunity by May 1st, maybe by May 15th. That won't be the end, but it will be a dramatically better situation. We will also likely at that point have cheap at-home tests. So like for me, if I imagine, hey, I might be able to order 50 or 100 of these cheap at-home rapid tests. I've been very cautious, but I've continued going to the grocery store. I go to the post office during the summer. I was hanging out outdoors with friends, eating outdoors at restaurants. If we had on May 15th, 50% immunity and these at-home tests, I would likely be ready to say, for example, hey, here's a group of six friends. We've all been working from home. If we all do a rapid test, I would be comfortable if we're all negative hanging out indoors, maintaining a reasonable amount of distance, assuming we're at 50% immunity with these tests. Okay. I mean, listen, it's not perfect, but we're talking about May, June, and to be clear, with half the country vaccinated. Now, you also have to remember there is a lag time on vaccination immunity. And what I mean by that is the time until vaccinated people actually reduce the number of deaths is weeks. And what I mean by that is on day one, you get dose number one. Dose number one confers some immunity, but not all. So that starts to have an effect. Day 22, 21 days later, you get your second dose. And then 7 days after that, you would be considered to be, you know, there's a 95% chance that you were immune. So by day 28 to 29, you ideally are no longer getting other people sick who you might have gotten sick were you not vaccinated. Since it takes 20 days in general from when someone catches the virus to when they die, if they're going to die, vaccinated individuals will not be fully effective at reducing deaths for 48 days. We won't see the impact on deaths of a vaccinated individual for up to 48 days. Now, we know that after dose one, you can be as much as 70 or even 75% likely to be immune. So these are all confidence intervals. But I think you understand the point that there's a lag time before which vaccination is not really doing that much to stop cases and to stop death. So the point is, this is a process, and there is every indication that by May 1, May 15, we will be in a better situation. Masks will likely be required in just as many places as they are today. But we are now, we had 2,960 people die yesterday. We're essentially at a 9/11 every day. So rather than lying about what Joe Biden plans to do, let's work together and start getting past this. We have a good court decision to tell you today regarding the pandemic and guidelines. There is a Dallas County judge that has ruled against Texas Governor Greg Abbott's move to ban mask mandates in the state. Now, if you're watching from another country, for example, and you're in a country that makes a little more sense than the United States, thanks to the Republican Party, you might assume if governors are going to get involved with mask mandates, you would think governors would say, hey, I'm not leaving it up to the local level. All schools must have a mask requirement in place for the time being, for the upcoming fall semester, in order to prevent the spread. But you would be wrong. The involvement of governors in mask mandates, particularly in red states, places like Florida — Florida's a very 50-50 state, but with Ron DeSantis, the Republican governor — Texas with Greg Abbott, the involvement of governors has been to ban mask mandates, or at least to try to ban vaccine requirements, or at least to try to. And a Dallas County judge says, no, you can't enforce it. You can't do it. You can't ban mask mandates if that is what municipalities or schools or whoever wants to do. Judge Tanya Parker sided with Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins on Wednesday, issuing a temporary injunction against Abbott's ban on mask mandates. The move will allow Jenkins' mask order, in addition to similar policies in other local school districts, to remain in place for the time being. Jenkins will now have the ability to issue penalties to individuals who don't comply with the county's policy, which requires that masks are worn in businesses, schools, and county-owned buildings. Parker wrote in the ruling that Jenkins proved that Dallas County residents, quote, will suffer probable, imminent, and irreparable injury through County Judge Jenkins being precluded from exercising his authority to mandate masks in public. So what the decision is, and sometimes it's like, was something banned, or was the ban banned, or did they ban bans on bans? Okay, you get it. The decision here is the governor can't ban mask requirements as an umbrella decision or direction. The controversy in Dallas began when Commissioner J.J. Koch filed a lawsuit against Jenkins earlier this month after being removed from a courtroom for refusing to wear a mask. Jenkins responded by filing a lawsuit against Abbott over an executive order he signed that banned mask mandates. If you think this is the end of the road for this, it is not. The temporary injunction will likely be appealed to the Fifth Court of Appeals in Dallas and then to the Texas Supreme Court before a final ruling is made. Abbott's office said in a statement it believes in the state attorney general's ability to defend the executive order. Imagine for a moment not only the money that could be saved, but potentially the number of infections that could be prevented, hospitalizations that could be prevented, and some number of deaths that could be prevented if instead of focusing on banning public safety guidelines, instead the Texas governor and his office focused on encouraging vaccination, encouraging safety protocol, and working to actually get beyond the pandemic rather than these pathetic shows about liberty and freedom and whatever else. But unfortunately, like we see it as not only a waste of time, but as something that's bad for public health. The Republican Party, particularly in these red states, is about obstructing, bringing down anything and anyone who is trying to make a positive impact under the guise of so-called freedom and liberty. And unless they start losing, they are probably going to continue doing this for a long time because, as I've said before, they've completely abandoned policy. And if you think this is the only thing that Greg Abbott is doing, no, yesterday, actually, Executive Order GA-39, this is a vaccine mandate ban. And the idea here is to prohibit vaccine mandates and vaccine passports subject to legislative action. So while this is getting struck down, he's trying to prevent vaccine mandates and vaccine requirements. And they claim to be about liberty, freedom, and not regulating business. But yet they're going out of their way to say, we need the government to ban a private business from making whatever decision is right for them. Normally, these are the people who say, if something is the right decision for a business, or even if it's the wrong decision, but they think it's the right decision, they should be free to make that mistake or to take the correct action. Except when they want to say, hey, you know what? It would be really bad for our business for unvaccinated people to come in and start spreading the virus. So we're going to require proof of vaccination. Oh, no, no, no. Now we need the full power of government to regulate these people. Not surprising. They've been hypocrites for a very, very long time. And hopefully, I mean, we're sort of in a race here, not only against the virus, but we're in a judicial race of sorts where we're constantly needing courts to weigh in and to prevent destructive actions, often self-destructive actions. And if you want to take a look at where Texas may be heading, just look at the COVID hellscape that is Florida. Look at Mississippi. Look at Alabama. Texas benefits from the fact that their healthcare infrastructure is better than Mississippi and Alabama. Mississippi and Alabama are absolutely the worst. And look at what's happening in their ICUs. But it is hitting Texas as well. As I covered yesterday, three independent emergency rooms in Texas have had to close because the organization that runs them needed to take all of their staff and bring them to other facilities overloaded with COVID. So as we've said before, if you get into a car accident in Texas, you're vaccinated, you have a health issue that it's not even COVID related. You get into a car accident, there are now three ERs which simply will not be available because all of the staff needed to be brought elsewhere to deal with COVID, overwhelmingly in hospitalized, unvaccinated patients. And this is going to continue. We'll take a quick break. After the break, I do want to talk about a bunch of you sent me these clips from an anti-vaccine rally in New York City. It's scary. It's scary. You know, it's entertaining and it's cartoonish, but it's also really, really, really scary. We'll take a look at those videos right after this short break. Okay, this is really great stuff. A question I've been asking for weeks now is, if you are opposed to the approved COVID-19 vaccine being required anywhere, why aren't you opposed to a requirement for the chickenpox vaccine or the polio or MMR or hepatitis or whatever the case may be? Fox News host Chris Wallace confronted the Republican Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts about exactly that question. Now, Ricketts is again loudly coming out against everything Joe Biden is trying to do on coronavirus requirements, including most recently the vaccine mandates and requirements for employers and others. But the very same Pete Ricketts is fine with tons of other vaccines. This is fascinating stuff. Let's watch and listen to the multiple things that Ricketts says, because we're going to break them down one by one in a moment.
To attend school in your state of Nebraska, children must be vaccinated against a number of diseases. Let me put them up on the screen. Mm-hmm. They must be vaccinated against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis.
That's the DTP shot that kids get.
Polio, measles, mumps, and rubella, hepatitis B, and chickenpox. Why are those mandates that parents in your state must comply with and do comply with routinely, why is it that they're not so objectionable and such a violation
Beautiful.
Of personal freedom, but Biden's vaccine mandates are?
Well, for all those that you just listed, there's a long history that parents have had the opportunity to see how those things have been implemented.
So there's a long history is not actually an argument. It might sound like an argument, but it's not actually an argument. He's not explaining why that should matter. Maybe if he tried to explain, he could give us something substantive and we might be convinced or not. But alone, that's not an argument.
And there's still a lot of people out there who don't know what to trust. And in fact, this is really an outcome of what the CDC has done, because they flip-flopped on so many issues, whether it's masks or whether you have to mask after you've been vaccinated and so forth.
Okay. So then he says lots of people don't know who to trust. That's also not an argument, because the question is, in either case, with all the vaccines, they're approved by the same body. And then the CDC has flip-flopped. This one I'm very sick of. They act like when the CDC changes their view based on more data, they act like it's just changing your mind about a movie you like. I mean, listen, one day you like the movie, you're in a different mood, the next day you don't like it. The CDC uses science, which is a process with a self-correcting mechanism built in. It becomes, ideally, more accurate over time. And it's not an argument against one vaccine, but not another. Remember, the question was, why is this vaccine requirement not okay and that one is? So it's in particular not an argument against that.
There's just a lot of people out there who don't know who to trust right now. And so by having the government force it on, you're not building the trust where we have the trust with those other vaccines.
Now, remember, it's also not being forced. Your employer can choose to let people test out each week instead of being vaccinated, or not if your employer doesn't want to, as Republicans like Pete Ricketts want employers to be able to do.
This is a process that's going to take time to bring people along, and that's why it should be a personal choice and not something mandated by the government.
But forgive me, sir, I'm old enough that I remember when the polio vaccine first came out, a lot of us, and certainly our parents, viewed it as a blessing, and immediately, I lived in New York State at that time, the state mandated that we all get the polio vaccine.
Right.
So, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There is a new vaccine that Donald Trump was largely responsible for. It's been approved, full approval by the FDA. Again, if the polio vaccine is okay for parents and they have to comply with it to send their kid to school, why not?
Chris Wallace is doing a good job here.
For a lot of people, not just kids, the vaccine for this disease.
Yeah, and I think this is very different from polio that has very devastating effects. And certainly we know if you're older, you know, 65 years and older, that's where 83% of our deaths in Nebraska
okay.
came.
So then he drops in, well, polio is devastating. Well, then talk about another condition. I mean, the death rate of chickenpox is really low. It's one per 100,000. If you look at slightly older kids, it's six per 100,000. It's very contagious, but it's not very deadly. So the point here is, he has no good answer. And this is a question we've been asking for a while. Look at all these other requirements for vaccination. They're only talking, most 99.9% of them are only talking about the COVID vaccine requirement. They are pathetic. They don't have an answer that they're able to articulate. If they can come up with an actual substantive explanation, I would gladly review it and think about it. And maybe they will convince me. Okay, this is really great. For weeks now, I've been reminding you every time we talk about Fox News criticizing various vaccine requirements at different companies. I've been reminding you, Fox News has a stricter vaccine mandate than the one that Joe Biden has proposed for companies with 100 or more employees. As we watched Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Dan Bongino criticize the requirements outlined by Joe Biden, that all sorts of different companies have adopted, sports teams, airlines, other organizations, Fox News hosts would not mention, hey, our mandate here at Fox is even stricter. Joe Biden said get vaccinated or test weekly. Fox News is doing get vaccinated or test daily and wear a mask around other employees if you're not vaccinated. Fox News hosts wouldn't mention it. They would just talk about vaccine mandates. It's terrible. They wouldn't mention, by the way, where we work, it's even stricter. Last week, during his CNN town hall, which we covered live, Joe Biden actually brought this up. Joe Biden actually said, hey, you know, there's this cynical, hypocritical Fox coverage of vaccination. They have a mandate. OK, so take a look at Joe Biden mentioning that.
You know what I find fascinating? I turn on Fox to find out how popular I am.
But how are you doing there?
I'm doing very well. I think I'm at 3% favorable. But all kidding aside, one of the things I find, you realize they mandate vaccinations?
At Fox headquarters.
Yeah. I find that mildly fascinating.
Mildly fascinating.
Now, that is absolutely true. They mandate with the option of testing out, just like Joe Biden proposed, except at Fox, if you want to test out, you've got to test daily instead of weekly. This now pushed Fox News into needing to comment on it. They can't just pretend it's not going on. And their reaction is just to lie and play a meaningless semantic game that is completely bogus. So take a look at what the Fox and Friends crew said the next morning about their own mandate.
About the misinformation he said about Fox. He thought it was says, I think it's funny that Fox has a vaccine mandate. You have a testing option at Fox. So what he said is totally inaccurate.
We don't have a mandate. We have a protocol.
Right. COVID protocol. That's a little different. Someone should tell the president.
We don't have a mandate here, says Steve Ducey. We have a protocol. Why? Because you can test instead of getting vaccinated. But that's exactly what Joe Biden proposed. Joe Biden said, vaccinate or test weekly. And Fox says, vaccinate or test daily and wear a mask. And here's why it's not a mandate, but it's a protocol is so silly. Just look at what the words mean. A mandate is an official order or commission to do something. Well, Joe Biden's order is you vaccinate or test weekly. So by that definition, it's a mandate. Fox News's order is vaccinate or test daily. That's a mandate by this definition. It's a mandate. Now, a protocol is the accepted or established code of procedure or behavior in a group, organization, or situation. Okay, so let's look at protocol. Joe Biden's established code of procedure is that you vaccinate or you test weekly. It's a protocol. Fox News's established code of procedure is you vaccinate or you test daily. It's a protocol. They are both mandates of a particular protocol. This is meaningless semantic trash. And I tweeted about this over the weekend. I said, so apparently Biden's required vaccine or required weekly testing is a mandate, but Fox News's required vaccine or required daily testing is a protocol. And I received a ton of really great responses. But one Twitter user, DiddyTrek1, lays it out the way that I did here, saying a protocol and a mandate are synonymous. Both mean something has to happen. Policy is also synonymous with mandate and protocol, and that is exactly correct. So this shouldn't surprise us. These are just hypocrites. These are people who mostly want to keep their jobs, even as Dan Bongino was saying, I may quit. Dan Bongino's thing with, I think it was Cumulus Radio Networks, although it may be, he has a show on Fox and a show with a radio network. It might be Cumulus. He was saying, listen, I'm vaccinated, but I'm against any vaccine requirements. So I may quit my job here, depending on what happens. He hasn't mentioned the fact that he's also an employee at Fox, which has one of the strictest requirements. Now, there are some employers that have gone further and they've said, we just don't want to deal with the testing or we don't want to offer a testing option. We just want everybody vaccinated. That's it. And certainly that's their prerogative and something they can legally do. That's not actually what Joe Biden proposed for companies of 100 or more employees. And what Fox News has gone out of its way to do is something that's even stricter. I have a friend who recently started work at a West Coast based startup. And during the hiring process, even right there when you apply, it says everybody on our staff has to be fully vaccinated. This allows us to do in-person events where we just test everybody on the way in. And we've got these two layers. Everybody's vaccinated and tested. We can do stuff and they do things. Just don't apply. If you're not willing to be fully vaccinated by the time you start, just don't apply. And much like, hey, this job requires you to work 2 overnights a week. Oh, I don't want that. I'm not going to apply. Fine. You're told up front. That is something companies can certainly do, but that's not even what's actually being discussed when we talk about the Joe Biden requirements. So it's great that Joe Biden mentioning it during the town hall Thursday pushed Fox hosts to start talking about it. Their reaction is so bogus. Their explanation is so pathetic and it's semantics at the end. It shouldn't really surprise us. And we'll see. My guess is that there's going to be more commentary on this from them. I'm really glad to see that more and more Fox News hosts are being confronted with the hypocrisy of their going completely crazy about the vaccine mandates that are being put in place by various companies, while not mentioning that Fox News itself actually has a stricter mandate than that which most companies have and that which was proposed by Joe Biden for companies of 100 or more employees. So yesterday we had this clip from Fox and Friends where they completely unbelievably said, we don't have a mandate, we have a protocol. We looked at the definition of the word mandate, we looked at the definition of the word protocol, and we determined they have both. It's the same thing. It's a distinction without a difference. It's a difference without a distinction. Whatever word or phrase you want to apply to it, it was BS and it was not believable. Today, we're going to go and look at another one of these confrontations, and this one is with Tucker Carlson. Now, this one's really interesting because Tucker Carlson has been one of the most sort of prominent purveyors of the attacks on vaccine requirements, even saying the vaccines don't even really seem to work and the vaccines might have killed thousands of people and all these different things. Media Matters has a great article on this. Fox personalities trying to distance themselves from Fox's vaccine mandate, even though Fox News's requirements for unvaccinated workers are stricter than those recommended by the Biden administration. Network hosts continue to attack vaccination policies and compliance protocols. Fox personalities and guests have insisted the mandates and testing requirements are akin to Jim Crow laws, apartheid, eugenics, forced sterilization, and discrimination against those affected by HIV/AIDS. The Biden administration policies Fox has spent months demonizing require companies with 100 or more employees to ensure that staff is vaccinated or test weekly. Fox Corporation's policy is get vaccinated or test daily and enter your status into an online portal. More than 90% of Fox employees report being vaccinated. Okay, so now this is great. This is a clip from Save the Nation, Vince and Jason, and they bring this to Tucker Carlson. On October 13th, he does this maniacal laugh. Take a look at this.
Okay, so I have a question here about Fox News.
Yeah.
You said Fox News has no vaccine mandate. But according to Newsweek, the company requires unvaccinated employees to submit to daily COVID testing, which is stricter than Biden's mandate, which calls for weekly testing
right.
for businesses that employ more than 100 people. Is Fox News denying the civil liberties of its employees by being stricter than President Biden?
Fair.
I don't know. I mean, you should probably ask Newsweek. It sounds like they've got a pretty precise handle on what's happening.
Yeah, so that's not a serious answer. All right, but let's continue.
Hey, if it's wrong, let me know. If I'm wrong. If,
yes, if I haven't... it's completely wrong, as I noted okay. the other night.
Fair.
I'm not, you know.
So what is the policy? Can you tell us the policy?
I'm not qualified to speak for the company. On this,
but as an employee, so that's just you know, BS. As an employee, he could speak to his understanding of the policy he's subjected to. I mean, he's subjected to the policy, so you don't have to speak for the company.
Because I don't run the company, and I'm not, you know, I'm just an employee of the company. Right. My personal
tell us as an employee the policy you've been subjected to and that you've agreed to.
Preference is that Fox News would, you know, make a statement about what its policies are, but I think like a lot of companies, you know, they're hesitant to do that because like, why would you even want to get involved in that conversation? Here's the bottom line. You know, there are a lot of infectious diseases out there, a lot, and a lot with much higher mortality rates than COVID-19.
True.
And, you know, there's HIV, of course, there's tuberculosis, of course, there are a bunch of different varieties of hepatitis, which have killed many hundreds of thousands of Americans over the years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And employers are not empowered. In fact, they're not allowed to ask employees what their status is. Are you HIV positive? Really? Can you be tested? Should we test people?
So notice that this is now a Gish Gallup. Okay. There's no vaccine for HIV, first and foremost. Okay. Secondly, we're talking about asking employees vaccination status, not disease status. Number three, HIV is far less contagious than COVID. It's a sexually transmitted disease. I hope people understand the way in which this is a verbal ink blot. There's no real substantive answer here.
Based on their sexual
practice. HIV isn't a communicable disease in the same way. Like, you can't. Really? You can't sneeze on somebody and give them HIV.
Right.
HIV has killed tens of millions.
Oh, yeah.
People.
No.
Now that's a different. Now notice how the goalposts are different. The death toll of HIV over 40 years now is different than how contagious it is. It also, I mean, you can't just walk by someone and they sneeze and you have HIV. This is really, I don't think Tucker is this stupid. So I think this is just bad faith.
I don't doubt that, but you can't, and it's not a communicable disease in the same way. You have to have sex or share blood, correct?
Well, sure. At which point you transmit it. So it is by definition communicable.
Yeah,
but he said it's not communicable in the same way. And he's right.
Not communicable in the same way. That's my point.
Just to be clear, I am totally opposed to asking anybody his HIV status at work.
Look at what he's doing. It's really a clinic in disinformation. Now Tucker is saying he's against the thing he mentioned, which is not even analogous to COVID vaccination status. He now says he said COVID vaccination status is analogous to asking HIV status, and he's not saying ask people HIV status. We're not even talking about the same thing anymore. The first question was, doesn't your company have a stricter policy than the one Biden suggests, which Tucker got out of by saying, listen, I don't speak for Fox News.
I'm totally opposed to asking his prostate cancer status or what.
Prostate cancer. Now we're in Lulu, you know, Looney Land. Prostate cancer, HIV is communicable through sexual contact, sexual fluids, blood. Now with prostate cancer, what are we even talking about? This has nothing to do with medical privacy.
His, you know, latest blood sugar levels are. I mean, we have HIPAA laws for a reason. So I'm hired to do a job.
And now raising HIPAA. HIPAA has absolutely nothing to do with this whatsoever. So look at the way in which Tucker is unable to give any serious answer. Fox's policy is stricter than the one Biden proposes. Tucker first says, I don't speak for Fox News. No, but you're an employee. You could tell us what they told you. You could tell us what decision you made about going with it in order to continue working there. That's number one. He doesn't answer. Then he goes into HIV. Then he goes into HIV status versus vaccination status. Then prostate cancer. Then HIPAA. This is not about HIPAA. HIPAA has to do with the transmission of medical records and privacy by medical providers. We're off the deep end, folks. So look at how quickly he fell apart under just basic questioning.
All right. This is super interesting. You guys may remember we've been covering this incredible double standard, this incredible hypocrisy where Fox News hosts and many in right-wing media have been slamming the Joe Biden vaccine mandate protocol requirement, in which large employers with more than 100 employees have to either get their employees vaccinated, get proof that their employees are vaccinated, or they have to test their unvaccinated employees once a week. Now, Fox News has implemented a much stricter protocol where you either need to be vaccinated or test daily, and you're required to wear a mask when working on location in certain areas. So the Fox protocol, the Fox requirement, the Fox guidelines, call it whatever you want, it is stricter than the ones outlined by Joe Biden. Another Fox host was confronted about this. This is really interesting. This is Pete Hegseth, who's a big anti-Biden guy, big bomb thrower. And he was interviewed by Mediaite's editor-in-chief Aidan McLaughlin. And when he was confronted with this double standard, where Hegseth is regularly railing on the Biden protocol, but Fox's, his employer's protocol is stricter,
He first wasn't really sure what to say. Then he resorted to attacking Mediaite, which might not surprise you. Let's take a look at this. Very instructive.
There was a vaccine or test requirement at the Patriot Awards, which is very similar to the policy at Fox News. Do you have an issue with Fox News having a policy like that, which is effectively the same as Biden's vaccine mandate for big businesses?
You're not mandated to get the vaccine because you can get a test.
Right. Now, remember, it's the same thing with Joe Biden. You're not mandated to get the vaccine because you can get a test.
I'm not in charge of it. I don't make the calls, but either you have the option to get a test, so you're not. It's not actually a complete vaccine mandate, and that's fine. I mean, it's not my call. So I'm grateful for the people that provide us this opportunity, and the show went off without a hitch.
Right, but it's just that, you know, Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for big businesses has been the subject of criticism. And that's even less stringent than the one at Fox News, right? It requires weekly testing as opposed to daily testing. So I'm curious as to why you have an issue with the Joe Biden vaccine mandate,
right,
but no problem with the one at Fox News.
Beautiful.
What do you want me to say?
Well, answer the question. Say, for example, well, I'm doing it to get clicks, or it's our editorial position and it's totally hypocritical. Or like, what he wants you to say is answer the question, Pete.
I mean, ultimately, companies have prerogatives. What the government shouldn't be doing is telling them what to do. The government shouldn't be telling them what to do. Every company has its own policies, and I'm beyond grateful for the opportunity to work at the Fox News Channel. And it does things that no other organization does, including your organization, Mediaite.
So now he just goes into attacking the interviewer.
It's part of the trash heap of left-wing media that, you know, does the same thing everyone else does. That's why we're number one. I mean, I can't even imagine what the clicks are on your site. Is it like 15 people a day? Like only journalists in New York 16. City that click on your, that click, 16, good. They're the only people that read Mediaite. The actual people read the Fox News Channel. So you guys want to nitpick and do your thing. That's cool. But
it's funny to say it's nitpicking to point out that Fox News has been waging a propaganda war against Biden's vaccine mandate while having a stricter mandate for its own employees. Pete Hegseth calls that nitpicking.
I could not be more grateful for the Fox News.
Okay, so there it is. So he eventually comes across something that sounds kind of like an explanation, which is, hey, listen, I'm fine with private companies doing what they think is best, but they shouldn't be told by the government that that's what they had to do. But in getting to that explanation, he first has to attack Mediaite to get there and insult them and say, you guys only get 15 clicks. And this is actually very common. Remember when Tucker Carlson was confronted with the same thing, his reaction was just as bizarre.
Okay, so I have a question here about Fox News.
Yeah.
You said Fox News has no vaccine mandate. But according to Newsweek, the company requires unvaccinated employees to submit to daily COVID testing, which is stricter than Biden's mandate, which calls for weekly testing
right.
for businesses that employ more than 100 people. Is Fox News denying the civil liberties of its employees by being stricter than President Biden?
Fair question.
I don't know. I mean, you should probably ask Newsweek. It sounds like they've got a pretty precise handle on what's happening.
if it's wrong, let me know. If I'm wrong.
It's completely wrong, as I noted the other night. I'm not, you know.
So what is the policy? Can you tell us the policy?
I'm not qualified to speak for the company on this because I don't run the company and I'm not, you know, I'm just an employee.
Now that's very disingenuous. Tucker could just speak to his experience with the policy as an employee. He doesn't have to speak on it as an employer. It's very disingenuous.
Company. My personal preference is that Fox News would, you know, make a statement about what its policies are, but I think like a lot of companies, you know, they're hesitant to do that because like, why would you even want to get involved in that conversation? Here's the bottom line. You know, there are a lot of infectious diseases out there, a lot, and a lot with much higher mortality rates than COVID-19. And, you know, there's HIV.
Yeah. So then as a reminder, he goes into kind of comparing and equating COVID vaccination and COVID to HIV, which is, of course, an insane analogy given that HIV is sexually transmitted. You can't sneeze on someone and give them HIV. There's no vaccine for HIV. I mean, every time that they are actually confronted with this,
It's a fair question every time. They know that they're stuck in an inconsistent position, and they either get angry and turn to insults, or they do whataboutism. So nice job there by Mediaites Aidan McLaughlin and Pete Hegseth, looking kind of like a doofus, I must say. All right. On Monday, I told you some states are looking very strongly at going in the direction of considering dropping mask mandates, either indoor at businesses and or in schools. Over the last 48 hours since I came to you with that report, it is accelerating dramatically. More and more localities, more and more states talking about no more masks as of some date in the relatively near future. Could be February, could be March. And the question now is this the right time? Not everybody agrees that it is. I don't actually have an answer. And so anybody trying to read into whether I think it's time to end masking or not, I'm not completely sure. I think there's definitely a discussion to be had. Let's go through some of the news. WABC reporting. Indoor masking coming to an end in New York. Is it Hochul or Hochul? I never remember. Hochul expected to make an announcement Wednesday. It is anticipated that the governor of New York will announce the end of the indoor mask mandate in New York State on Wednesday, but the city mandate will remain in place. The state mandate requires masks to be worn inside businesses where vaccination status was not being checked. It is set to expire Thursday, and the New York Times reports that the governor will rescind it. Connecticut and New Jersey are already among a handful of states with plans to ease mask mandates in schools. The governor of New York has not made the same move. However, she held a call with school superintendents who believe an announcement is coming soon. The governor is expected to extend the mask mandate past its February 21st expiration and through winter break. Meanwhile, Illinois is expected to announce an end or rollback of certain mask rules. CNN reporting, the governors of New York and Illinois are expected to announce the end of or a plan to roll back certain COVID mitigation requirements involving masks today. I already told you about New York. In Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker will likely announce Wednesday a path for ending the state's indoor mask mandate in most public places. There is also increasingly pressure in Massachusetts on the governor, Charlie Baker, to make some kind of off-ramp type statement. Many cities and towns already going in that direction. In California, California's indoor mask mandate will end next week for vaccinated people, citing a 65% drop in COVID cases since the peak of Omicron. California will end its statewide indoor mask mandate for vaccinated individuals next week, Governor Gavin Newsom announced Monday. On February 15, California's statewide indoor mask requirement will expire. Unvaccinated people must still wear masks indoors. Less than 20% of the state's population remain unvaccinated, according to data. The Biden administration has not yet offered a plan or roadmap for how to handle this. So a couple different things here. Number one, not everybody agrees about this. One example is the former Surgeon General Jerome Adams. Now, Jerome Adams was not exactly the voice of reason when Donald Trump was president. So there are people who would say, I don't care what Jerome Adams says. But Jerome Adams tweeting, quote, I respectfully disagree with many of my colleagues who are espousing the idea that prematurely dropping mask mandates will somehow make it easier to bring them back if and when things get worse again. How'd that work out when CDC said vaccinated could unmask last summer? He went on to say, how do I define premature? Well, by looking at spread, impact, and protection. Spread, 7-day average, still highest since April of last year. Impact, over 2,500 deaths yesterday. Protection, only 22% of those 5 to 11 and 56% of 12 to 17-year-olds are vaccinated. Exit the highway early, trip takes longer. I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do or not. On the one hand, Jerome Adams is right, which is the numbers are still not looking great. That being said, we know that the numbers significantly lag what is going on. There are states with cases down 85 to 90%. Vaccines are so widely available. The death rate is so incredibly low for the vaccinated that there becomes a question of what is the milestone?
And if there is not a reversal, if we say, well, cases are down in the country about 70%, in some states they're down 85 to 90%. If we give it one more month and that continues and there isn't a reversal, there really won't be anything else to wait for, in the sense that it's not going away anytime soon. There's going to be a low level. Again, if in the next month there's not a new variant that causes cases to spike, in a month cases will be really at what we might call an endemic level. Doesn't mean it, the cases are mild. It might or it might not, but we're talking about the case levels. There's a question of what would we be waiting for at that point in time? And there's not really a clear answer. And so that's where the, if not in 2 to 4 weeks, then when, becomes a relevant question. People who choose to remain unvaccinated do so at their own risk. And as always, the question then becomes, what about the immunocompromised? And that is a situation where those folks say, well, I've gotten vaccinated, but I still really can't do anything because I might still catch it and I'm at higher risk. And that's a serious question. I mean, a lot of those people haven't been doing anything anyway. So it is a sort of chicken egg thing where, if the immunocompromised folks that have been staying home all this time are already staying home, then what is the reason to delay ending the mask mandates for those who are not staying home? It's complicated. I'm going to admit that it's very complicated. But the question I keep coming back to is, if not in a month, then what is the milestone that we are waiting for? And I've not heard a good answer to that, which suggests continuing on with some of this stuff. The schools question is a separate question, particularly when in schools you've got a population that has a lower vaccination rate. I'm thinking out loud along with you guys, and I know that in my audience there are people who are saying, this is it. It's time for the personal responsibility phase. End everything and let people decide for themselves what level of risk to accept, like we do during flu season. Some people already would wear a mask during flu season or stay home. That's one side of my audience. The other side of my audience says, do nothing. We need to keep masking for at least the entire year. We should be closing schools. We should. So I know that there's different sides in my audience, and I'm curious to hear from you. Find me on Twitter at dpacman and let me know what you think should happen now. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. I was going to talk to you guys today about the... So let me back up. A week ago, I imagined that today I would be talking to you about the U.S. anti-vaccine mandate trucker convoy heading to Washington, D.C., set to arrive today. Their plan was to get to D.C. on the day of Joe Biden's State of the Union address. A week ago, I thought I'd be talking to you about it. I'm not, because nobody's paying attention to it, and it's not even clear that... It seems to have sort of disintegrated. And one aspect of this is brought up in this voicemail. And our voicemail number, again, is 2192-DAVID-P, which is, what mandates are they protesting anyway? Take a listen.
Hi, David. Listen, I have a question for you. Haven't all the mandates pretty much been overturned by the courts, except for, you know, Biden's federal ones in the service and at the airports and stuff? Everything else has pretty much been overturned by the courts. Am I wrong? So why are the convoys still forming and still trying to make their way across America? Now they got bikers doing it too. And they have a much further cause. Why don't they just take up their guns and go to Ukraine? Kyle Rittenhouse to go with them too. He wanted to protect the storefront. Right. Let them protect the country with their patriotism. That Trump calls them all patriots. If they're true patriots, let them do something patriotic. Even if it is for another country, at least it shows they got the balls.
Yeah. So listen, a couple of thoughts on the U.S. trucker convoy. First of all, and I tweeted about this yesterday, and many of you wrote back absolutely loving it and saying you had thought the same thing. Imagine that you spend a month or 6 weeks or however long it was organizing this convoy of truckers that wants to protest vaccine mandates and government tyranny and authoritarianism. And you're going to drive across the entire country. I don't remember where they started, whether it was California or Arizona, somewhere in the Southwest or maybe Texas. Who the hell even knows? They're going to drive to Washington, D.C., and then quite literally, as they're about to leave to start their convoy, Russia invades Ukraine and gets 24/7 coverage, and no one pays attention to your stupid convoy. So, like, that's number one. and that's funny, and I genuinely take pleasure in it. That's hilarious. Nobody's paying attention to these people because Russia has invaded Ukraine. But then there are other layers of absurdity that are Kafkaesque in this entire thing. The second one is the whole premise of the trucker convoy is that these are victims of tyranny and authoritarianism, right? We are being victimized by the tyrannical government, mostly state governments, that say, hey, you got to be vaccinated against COVID. And quite literally, Russia invades Ukraine and people start dying. And the president of Ukraine is out there fighting. And you as a trucker are trying to say, I'm a victim of tyranny when you see what's going on in Ukraine. Beyond parody. OK, so that's like the second layer that's funny or, you know, curious. And then, of course, the third one is what the caller is saying. What mandates are you protesting? So the general Biden vaccine mandate, which, by the way, wasn't a mandate because it include or allowed for a test out option. You can opt out and test instead. That was blocked by a court. You then have states and municipalities that have various vaccine requirements. You got to be vaccinated to work in a healthcare setting, or you've got to show a vaccine card to go to a restaurant or whatever. They're mostly dropping it because why? It was an imaginary slippery slope all along. As COVID is waning for now, fortunately, and who knows what the future holds, variants, spikes, resurgence, cases are down 95%. And exactly as the sane people expected, as the threat from COVID goes down, various requirements are being eliminated. There's barely any mask requirements left. Yes, you got to wear masks on airplanes. There's some cities and places that, but the mask requirements are going away. The vaccine requirements are going, it's all going away. So what are you even protesting at this point? It's really an example. This entire U.S., the Canadian convoy was this, but the U.S. trucker convoy is even more so this. What are you protesting at this point? What on earth are you protesting? And they're just desperate for attention, which they're not getting, thankfully. Not thankfully that Russia invaded Ukraine, but thankfully as a result of there being real news in the world, nobody's paying attention to that stupid convoy. And I'm absolutely loving every minute of it. We have a fantastic bonus show for you today. First of all, what would it look like if Ukraine joined the European Union? How would it work? What would it look like? And what would be Putin's reaction? We're going to talk about Ukraine and the EU on today's bonus show. Secondly, hackers have been very involved in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, taking down a number of prominent Russian websites and doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And one of the recent things that happened is that 120,000 Russian soldiers have been doxxed by hackers, meaning that their identities and their personal information has been released. And we're going to talk about, obviously, that is not in the realm of what we typically consider cyber warfare. But where does that type of thing fit in international military conflicts? There are differing opinions. It might sound like, no. Here's the one view on doxing soldiers and its validity. But there are actually some dissenting views on that. We're going to talk about that. And then number three, yesterday I told you that FIFA has determined Russian players can play in the World Cup, but no Russian national anthem, and they can't be identified as Russia. That's been canceled. Russia has now been totally thrown out of the World Cup. FIFA has decided it's just a hard no. And we're going to talk about that and other kind of sports related sanctions that have come in the past and that may come in the future. All of those stories and more are on today's bonus show. How do you get access to the bonus show? Simple. Sign up for a membership at joinpacman.com. You can use the coupon code, please don't war. I know it sounds ungrammatical, but that's what it is. The coupon code is please don't war. You'll get a discount off of a membership. You'll get access to the bonus show, the commercial-free audio feed, the commercial-free video feed, and much, much more. We will see you then and tonight live on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook for Joe Biden's State of the Union address.
DJ Haim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
WRCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
RCT, the inside from way out.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic...
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
January 6th was the culmination of an attempted coup. A brazen attempt, as one rioter put it shortly after January 6th, to overthrow the government. The violence was no accident. It represents Senate Trump's last stand, most desperate chance to halt the transfer of power.
In its first public hearing, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection accuses Donald Trump of staging an attempted coup with the help of his allies in government and two far-right groups, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. We'll hear excerpts from the hearing, including a message from the committee vice chair, Liz Cheney, to her fellow Republicans.
Tonight, I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
And we'll hear newly released video testimony from Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, and former Attorney General William Barr challenging Trump's claims of election fraud.
I told the president it was bullshit, and, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it.
How did that affect your perspective about the election when Attorney General Barr made that statement?
It affected my perspective. I respect Attorney General Barr. So I accepted what he said, was saying.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection said Thursday Donald Trump was at the center of a violent conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 election. In a primetime hearing, the committee revealed Trump's own attorney general, William Barr, as well as Trump's daughter, Ivanka, thought there was no basis for Trump's claims of election fraud. Committee Chair Benny Thompson said January 6 was the culmination of an attempted coup by Donald Trump, who supported the mob's chants of "Hang Mike Pence." Thompson compared the January 6 insurrection to the ransacking of Washington, D.C. by British forces more than two centuries ago.
But unlike in 1814, it was domestic enemies of the Constitution who stormed the Capitol and occupied the Capitol, who sought to thwart the will of the people to stop the transfer of power. And so they did. So at the encouragement of the President of the United States, trying to stop the transfer of power, a precedent that had stood for 220 years.
Committee co-chair Liz Cheney, one of just two Republicans on the panel, revealed multiple Republican lawmakers sought pardons from Trump after January 6th. After headlines, we'll spend the rest of the hour airing excerpts from Thursday's historic hearing. In Michigan, the FBI arrested Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly at his home Thursday morning over his role in the January 6th Capitol assault. Kelly faces charges including engaging in acts of physical violence, knowingly entering restricted grounds, property destruction, and disorderly conduct. He's among some 840 people charged over the insurrection so far. In Maryland, an employee opened fire on his co-workers at a manufacturing plant in rural Washington County Thursday, killing three people and critically injuring a fourth. Maryland State Police say the 42-year-old suspect then fled the scene but was later tracked down, wounded, and arrested after an exchange of gunfire that left